So we'll turn to Daf Hey Amid Bet, and we'll see if we can continue more or less where we left off yesterday with the sugya of Chashid HaMamona, Chashid HaShvuasa. Can we trust someone with a shvua if he's a gazlan? And that was the beginning of the sugya.
Speaking of gazlan,
okay. This we have to put, maybe here. It's sort of disturbing. Yeah. Now, when a person takes a shvua, let me get this out of the way. He should take it in such a way that there's no way he could finagle and say, I meant this, and I'm really pocketing the money. I'm a thief, but I didn't take a shvua sheker. The shvua has to be clearly, explicitly indicative of the fact that if he's a thief, he's taking a shvua sheker. So that was the last statement of the Gemara that we did yesterday on Daf Hei Beis Amar Rav Huna. So let's take a look again at Rav Huna's statement, which you'll see approximately, I think, about 8 lines down from the top of the page. Mm-hmm. Amar Rav Huna, what's the nature of the shvua in the case of Shnayim Ochsa Betalis? What's the formula of the shvua? And Gemara says, the Amar, you should say, shvua sheyesh li ba, the ein li ba pachas michetzia. Why isn't it enough for him to say, shvua sheein li ba pachas michetzia, which implies that he has at least a half, which will allow him to claim even more than a half, but he says, I have at least a half, that seems like a perfect shvua. No. Rav Huna says, we need what's called al de'isle mishtaba in the language of the Shas. What does mean al de'isle mishtaba? So the Maram Shif explains the following. When he uses a negative term, ainli ba, he's only excluding anything that's on that list of the ainli ba. So for example, there's a list that's called pachas michetzia. Pachas michetzia means from 50 and down. So let's call it from 1 to 49. So I don't have pachas michetzia. So pachas michetzia, again, as a hyphenated word, would include anything from 49 down to 1. That's called pachas michetzia. But 0 would not be included under pachas michetzia. So if he has nothing in this talis, He can lie under oath without taking a false oath, because he's going to claim that what I meant to say is I don't have anything that's pachos michetzia, that's 1 to 49, either 1% up to 49%, that I don't have. I have nothing in the talis because I stole the talis. And keep in mind that the final maskot of our Gemara is that the shvua in our Mishnah is because we're afraid he's a ganav, right? Shema yitkov es taliso shel chavero. But if he takes the shvua in the positive and he says shvua sheyesh li ba, then he's covering that possibility that he doesn't have anything in the talis because he's saying yesh li ba. So he cannot reconcile thievery, to be grabbed onto something, with his shvua of yesh li ba. But on the other hand, we want to add the negative here, because if he would take a shvua of yesh li ba chetzia, which is exactly the half that we're going to award him, then he's excluding his own claim that he has the whole talis. He's accusing Shimon of grabbing onto his talis. So now the Gemara asks the following. V'neima shvua shekula shali. Why can't he take an oath that the entire talis is his? After all, he's claiming ownership over the entire talis. So the Gemara answers, Umi avina le kula. We have a principle that we will not give a person a shvua, impose a shvua, and then he will gain nothing. Well, I shouldn't say nothing, but he would gain less than what he took a shvua on. There has to be some sort of commensurate relationship between the shvua and what we at the end of the day are going to award him as a result in the aftermath of the shvua. So if he takes a shvua Shekula Shali, we have a discrepancy between the Shvu itself and what we're going to grant him. We're only going to give him half of the talis. So it looks like a laz on Bezdin. Why? Because the people in the sitting in the audience in the pews, they hear a shvua that says shvua shekula shali, and
one of them's a liar,
right? But when they hear that shvua, they assume that Bezdin is going to accept that shvua. Meaning, their understanding was that whatever the shvua is, it's being imposed in order to give him what he claims. In other words, you put forward a claim, we're not yet ready to believe your claim, but it has to be strengthened by a shvuah. Once you take the shvuah, then we're going to believe your claim. So the Gemara asks, V'neima shvuah shechetzi shali. Why not take a shvuah that half is yours? That's exactly what we're going to grant him. There's no chashash of hotzas laz on bezna. People are going to murmur, how is it they impose the shvuah and they're not even believing him with the shvuah? But if he takes the shvuah shechetzia shali, they believe him on that shvuah, they're going to give him chetzia. So Gemara says, Marale l'dibure. He's contradicting his own claim. He can't take a shvuah to something that contradicts his claim.
Why is it contradicting?
Because he's saying that it's not chetzia shali, well, it's kula shali.
Well, if it's chetzia shali, kula shali, then certainly it's chetzia shali. So he's not saying a lie.
Right, but chetzia shali implies...
He's not saying low owed. He doesn't say low owed.
Right. Chetzia shali implies that all I have is half. That's how the Gemara understands it. Mm-hmm. Now the Gemara is going to attack that premise. The Gemara says the following. We're still on Daf Hei Amid Beis.
Yeah.
The Gemara says, Hashtanami, even according to the formula, the Nusach of the Shvuah as we have it, it's still Marole L'dibura. Right? He says, Yeshli ba, I have something in this talis, but Eli ba pachas mi'chetzi, I don't have less than half. Well, that implies that I have half. The Omar says, the Gemara, no, you're missing the Shvuah. The point of the Shvuah is, the Omar, he's saying, Kula Shali. I deserve the entire talis. But you have a problem because you have someone else who's also claiming ownership over this talis. And therefore you're only going to grant me half the talis. So l'divreichem, according to the way you accept it, that you can't believe me on a claim of kula shali, at least believe me on a claim of chetzi shali. Yishvur sheyeshli ba, I'm taking a shvur that I have some ownership, some minimum ownership in this talis. But the Eli Ba Pachos Michetzi, I don't have less than half. Okay. Now we get back to the main sugya that we started yesterday. And that's the sugya of Chashid Amamona. Someone who's suspect of Gzela, isn't he also suspect of a Shvuah Sheker? How can we trust his Shvuah if he's suspect of Gzela? So the Gemara asks the following question. I don't understand the Shvuah in our Mishnah. Each one is holding on to half the talis. Is Shvuah Zulama? Why do we even need a Shvuah? If you're going to tell me that, well, one of them is lying, and therefore we don't want to believe him without a Shvuah, then you're going to enter into the issue of Migu de Choshid Amamona Choshid Ashvuasa, meaning if you actually believe that one of these two individuals grabbed onto his friend's talis and he's basically an outright thief, then why should you believe his Shvuah? And on the other hand, if you want to know whether there are rayos and there are hochachos to prove and establish the truth of each one of their claims, well, as far as half the talis is concerned, zet tofus v'zet tofus. Each one has a tfisa on half the talis, and that tfisa should prove that he gets half the talis. Why do we need a shvuah? So mivonafshal. If the shvuah is based on the fact that we suspect that he's lying and really he never had this talis, he's just grabbing onto someone else's talis to steal it, so then we shouldn't trust the shvuah at all, and the shvuah is meaningless. Because chashad amamona, chashad shvuasa. If, on the other hand, we don't suspect him, because he has evidence to support his claim on half the talis, and that's called zetof is v'yomim, v'zetof is v'yomim, so shvuah zulama. Why should he have to take a shvuah? Meaning, when the Torah imposes a shvuah, it's because we believe that a person is lacking, he's missing a clear proof to support his claim. So we need a shvua to bolster and strengthen a claim when that claim has no objective evidence. Says the Gemara, in the absence of evidence, then the Torah imposes a shvua. Here we have the existence of evidence. Why? Because Zetofus V'yomed, the Zetofus V'yomed. We have really reason to believe that each one has half the talus. Why would the Torah impose a shvua in that case? The Torah is going to impose a shvua when there are claims and counterclaims, but there's no evidence. And if we want to tip the scale in favor of one of the two, let's call him the Nitva, because he's Muksog, then the Torah is going to say, well, you don't have any proof to support your claim. Take a shvua. The shvua is going to give us at least a mixas raya, some proof to go on. But if Lui Yitzuyer, you have a case where each one of these two litigants has a raya, again, that raya doesn't prove his claim, because the raya is only on half the talus and he's claiming the entire talus, but at least the half that we have to give him, award him, he has a raya for. What's that raya? Tfisa. So why not just split the talus? Where's the need for a shvua? Under what category of shvua does our shvua come under?
Well, he's holding half of it. Is he really holding half of it?
Yeah, that's going to be a sugya later on.
On the whole thing has got to be in his hand.
No. He's holding half of it. There's another case.
The whole half.
He's holding the whole half. Right. That's very important. The Gemara is going to clarify that on Daf Zayin, Daf Ches.
Otherwise, it's no riot at anything. Because right. If you only have to hold this a piece.
Correct. Oh, so now the Gemara comes up with a new breakthrough. And that is that as opposed to Rav Chiya and everything we've been assuming until now, that our Mishnah is based on some sort of Shvuah Shel Torah, comes along Rav Yochanan, he says, no, Shvuah Zuta Konis Chachamim. The entire enterprise of the Shvuah is an enactment, a creation of the Chachamim. What were they worried about? Kadesh lo ye kol echad v'echad holich v'tokev v'talisa shel chaver yom shalihu. It's very easy. You know, all I have to do is grab onto your talis. I'm going to claim it's mine. And you're going to have to take a shvua. I'm going to have to take a shvua. And at the end of the day, we're going to split the talis. Does grabbing on to someone else's talis prove a thing? I mean, if we had two eidim, we would prove that you're a thief. But it doesn't really establish your claim. So we need an extra raya to tip the scale and bolster your claim. What's that raya going to be? A shvua. We could also say it the other way around. Let's inhibit a person who wants to grab on to someone else's talis and tell him that, my friend, don't think that you're going to get away with murder, and all you have to do is grab on to his talis and claim whatever you want to claim, and it's going to be awarded to you. No, we're going to have to require a shvua. That shvua is a prerequisite before we would believe you. Maybe it's not worth it for you to get involved in such a thing where you have to grab onto someone's talis and then take a shvua that it's yours. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Rabbi Yochanan, you haven't solved a thing. All you've done is you reduce the level of Ashvua and Mishnah from Doraisa to Drabonon. But we still have a fundamental principle that Choshen HaMamona, Choshen HaShvuasa. The reason why we didn't understand why the Mishnah was imposing a Shvua is because, since we believe that maybe he's lying through his teeth and he grabbed onto someone else's talus, then he's choshed on the Shvua, because a Gazlan is choshed on the Shvua. Well, according to you, Rav Yochanan, we should raise the same question. You're telling me that you're afraid he's going to grab onto someone's talus. You want to prevent that. Why? Because you're going to impose upon him a Chiv Shvua. Guess what? Fife there on it. Go fly a kite. I'm going to take the Shvua Sheker. Because to the same extent that I'm a no good rascal and I grab onto your talus, I couldn't care less about a Shvua Sheker. It doesn't impress me.
Especially it's the Ramon.
Right. It's like a person who I don't want to say this in front of Rav Levi Yitzchak Miraditcheva, but a person who runs for office in this country and he publicly declares that I ate in a trade for restaurant on Shabbos, you know. And he gets 10 seats. and the whole future of the government depends upon it, right? So that's the kind of chutzpah a person has. So I'm gonna steal your talis, and then you're gonna hit me with a shmua. Oh, you think that's gonna get me nervous? He's a no good rascal. He's an absolute thief. So what is the logic of Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan saying that we're gonna impose upon him a shmua because he's a gazlan. We're afraid he's a gazlan. Go fly a kite. I have no inhibitions about taking a shmua sheker. And that's called in the Lashon HaShas, Migu de Choshen HaMamon, Choshen Nami HaShvoso. To the same extent that we think he may have stolen someone else's talis, and he's a no good thief, then he'll take a Shavuot Sheker as well. So what did you gain? Ma ho'ilu chachom v'takanosim, as we say. Now, what we thought, having seen the Gemara's objection to Rabbi Yochanan, is that the Gemara would go on one particular path, and the Gemara would try to say that, you know what, he's not an outright gazlan. You know, right now, it's very cold out, he needs a jacket, so he grabs onto someone else's jacket. But if you give him a shvua, he'll admit that it's not his. But the Gemara doesn't want to take that approach. The Gemara thinks that Rabbi Yochanan is really worried about an outright gazlan who has no intention of returning this stolen object. So why do we trust the Shmua? Zok the Gemara, lo amar, and when do we say that he's chashen on the Shmua? That's migu to chashem on chash Shmua. Lo amrina. In other words, a person as much of a scoundrel as he is, and he's willing to steal someone's mammon, nevertheless, We should trust his shvua. So Rashi says the following. Rashi says that isur shvua sheker chamur etzel bnei adam yosem isur gzela. You know, it's interesting when you give gradations to violations of isurim. You know, normally we talk about an isur kares and an isur misa, an isur lav, a malchus, or it's less than a lav. We have a whole hierarchy of chumras avera. But in the mindset of Bnei Adam, they're not such lamdanim. They think that we can give gradations to averus, and these are intuitive. We don't have to prove it to you. I don't have to prove, well, it's higher on the Richter scale because it generates a more severe punishment.
That's true. I have to tell you a story. I'm interested in Jewish gangsters. There were hundreds of them. 50% of the gangsters in the...
I slept in the bed of one of them when I was in Alcatraz. I'm trying to remember what his name was. Lipsky or something, what?
Lepke Buchhalter.
Yeah.
There was a guy, Longy Zwingville, right? Who was a murderer, you know, in Jersey. And he went to a funeral of a friend of his, standing outside the shul. So they asked him, I'm a Kohen.
That is a great story. I have to write this down. His name was Zangerville? Is that his name?
Zingville.
Next time I meet a Zingville, I'm asking Zingville for a bracha. He's a kayan. So the Gemara says, Lo amrina, migu choshen amamona, choshash v'rosa. It's okay to steal things from someone, but iser sheker, shua sheker, chomer eitzel b'nei adam, yosem iser gzela. So for sure, this will be a martia. And it's very interesting that the Tosfos here, Dibur Masechta Dechoshin, quotes a famous Gemara in Shavuos that when God declared at the Har Sinai, He declared, "Lo Tisa Shem Hashem El Kechlashav Ha'olam Is Dazea Arba Meos Parsal Arba Meos Parsal." The whole world shook, and that means that there's an extra chumrah in the eyes of the people, and maybe it's even true in Shavuos Sheker. Now, also keep in mind that with regard to all the averos, the Torah says that if you do tshuva, you're not going to be punished. But in Shavuos Sheker, the Torah says, ki lo yinake. And what that means is that even if he does tshuva, he'll still be punished. Again, the tshuva will somehow ameliorate or reduce his punishment, but he'll still be punished. So this is pretty scary. So a person would not want to take a Shavuos Sheker. Tosfos adds another point here. He says that why is the Iser Shvua Sheker Chomer B'Eni Adam Yosef Iser Gezel? He says, for example, the Din Torah is that a Gazlan is not Nifsal L'Shvua. because in Eidus the pasuk says Al Teishes Yodcha Im Rasha Lios Eid Chavos. That a Gazan is possible le Eidus, but the Torah never says that a Gazan is possible le Shvua. And the reason for that is because even though he is not trusted if he's a Gazlan, but nevertheless he would never take a Shvua Sheker. So we even though we would not trust him, but nevertheless we can trust his Shvua. So we see clearly that a person with regard to a Shvua is going to be believed despite the fact that he is a Gazlan.
Hopefully.
Now the Rashba quotes Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says that we all have any Shvua Sheker Chomer Lianoshim Yosem Yisur Gzelo Umacha Omer Gemar Chosher Avimona Eino Chosher Ashvuasa Ein Ze Elo Bi Adam Shelo Gazal Mi Olam Viata If he's about to commit gzela for the first time in his life, he's not what you call a well experienced, a well greased gazlan. He's an addicted gazlan. He's doing it for the first time. He's testing the waters. In such a case, a shvua, says Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, will scare him away from his first act of gzela. Once he becomes a regular gazlan, then we should be choshed him on a shvua. So the situation of Rabbi Yochanan's takana in the case of Shnayim Osim B'talis of Shema Tokev as Taliso Shel Chavero, that's not a tried and true, well-known gazlan, but that's a case of a person who, for the first time in his life, is trying to see if he can get away with gzela. In such a case, he will not take a shvua sheker. Aval gazlan shekvar gazal, he says, al yidei shvua sheishava atalo yachzer bo migzela shekvar gazal. In other words, he's stolen in the past, he's stealing now, And the shvua is not going to deter him and cause him to remove his hand over the gzela. And just like he doesn't do tshuva for this gzela, he's not going to do tshuva for taking a shvuas sheker. That's all according to Rabbi Yehuda Chassid.
It was part of the Tosfos.
Yeah.
But when they said shvuas sheker itself is a ganavus das.
For sure. Okay, so now the Gemara is saying Lo Amrin Chasham Nigu the Chashamon Chasham Shvuasa, and now the Gemara wants to prove this. The Ilo Temal. Let's go back to the Torah. The Torah, in the case of Modu Mikzah, says you have to take a Shvua. Hi Omer Achmanu Modu Mikzah Tiny Shava Neimah. Why don't we say Nigu the Chashamon Chasham Shvuasa? You think that he's denying the loan when he really owes the money, so he's a gazlan. If it's Gazlan, let's be choshed him on the Shvua. The Torah says, let's trust his Shvua. You see clearly that the enterprise of Shvua is predicated on the following principle. Migu de choshed amamon, lo choshed ha-shvua. So, Gemara says, no, that's a case of a milveh. And in the case of a milveh, we don't have a be'en. He's not actually stretching out his arm to steal a physical material object, but rather he's denying a chov. Whenever a person is denying a chov, we have a principle called ishtamute ka mishtamet. We don't believe that he's outright gazlan. We think he's just stalling for time. So right now he's going to give you 50, and he knows he's going to have to work overtime to get the other 50, but he has full intention of paying it back. Hasam. That's the case of a chiyuv shvua. Ishtamute kamishtametle. He needs time to gather together his liquid assets and finally repay his creditor. Then we say that if he's a modu b'mikzas, he's not chashed al mamon, even though he denies the other half, because he's not stealing the other half. He's just trying to push off the payment of the other half until he gets the liquid assets, until he gets the cash into his pocket. Kidarabba, And this was the principle of Rabba way back on Daf Gimel, that Rabba says that we have a chazaka that ein olam tovea ela im kein yeshlo, and that gives the tovea, the malva, so-called malva, if he's really a malva, a superior position, because he wouldn't just out of the blue create a taina. On the other hand, Rabba says we have a proof or a bit of evidence in favor of the nitba, and that is ein adam meis panim b'fnei bal chovo. So we have ein adam tovelim kein yesho, ein adam meis panim b'fnei chovo, and we're really in a stalemate, so we don't know what to do. So in this case, we have a svara called ishtamute kamishtamut. On the one hand, we believe the malve, because ein adam tovel kein yeshlo. On the other hand, the love is denying the chov, and that's really a chutzpah. But the answer is, he's not really denying the chov, because he's a modu b'miktas. The modu b'miktas is going to give him a sense of comfort. I didn't rip him off completely. I gave him 50 and I'm pushing off the other 50. And he can live with that up until a certain point when the Torah imposes a shvua. As soon as the Torah says you have to take a shvua, then he picks up his hands and he says, I'm gone, I'm going to have to somehow admit the other 50 and come up with that money. Maybe they'll give me an extension of time. And that's the case of modu b'miktas. Okay, so now the Gemara says the following. That although the Torah says that modu b'miktas tani takes a shvuah because we don't think he's an outright gazlan, he's really waiting till he gets the funds and he'll pay it back. Again, he has to comply with and admit on half because of, you know, ein adam meis panim b'fnei bal chov. So he got rid of the Aza. And at this point, the Torah says he has to take a shvua. Why? Because ishtamute kom ishtamit. Not so in the case of talis. Because in the case of talis, we're not dealing with a milva, we're talking about a be'en. How could you apply ishtamuti kom ishtamit? You know, I tried to make an argument for that maybe it's cold outside, he needs a coat, so he says, let me borrow someone's coat for the time being. Shol shalom idas gazlan avi. But he intends to return it. The Gemara is operating with a totally different set of premises. That if he's grabbing onto someone's talis, he is an outright gazlan. And therefore, his situation is not the same as a classic kofer b'miktas u'modu b'miktas. Because in that case, we have not established that he's a gazlan. Let him see that he can only possess the other half if and when he takes a shvua. And that's going to cause him to be inhibited. He would rather pay the money, lose the case, then lie and say, I'm going to take a shvua sheker. So again, initially, he denies half the claim. Once he hears about the shvua, he will offer a confession on the other half of the claim. That's ishtamute komishtam. But in the case of talis, how can you believe his shvuah? That's not a case of ishtamuti kamishtamit. He grabs onto someone else's talis. Why do you trust him in a shvuah? In modu b'miktas, I trust him in a shvuah because I believe he's playing hanky-panky here. He needs a little time to gather together the other half of the claim, but he has full intention of paying it back. Such a person I can trust with a shvuah.
What about kofar akol?
In Kofar HaKol, we have a principle, Ein Adam Meis Panim B'fnei Bal Chovo. and he's in a very uncomfortable situation here. He's denying, he's looking at the Malvin, he's denying the whole Chov.
He doesn't have it, so he has no choice but to deny it.
So in such a case, we really shouldn't trust the Shvur. So the Gemara says that...
There's no
Shvur. No, I'm talking about Rav Nachman. Oh, I thought you were asking about Rav Nachman. You're going back to the Doraisa?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Rav Nachman that we covered yesterday, you know, the Shvur's Hesed. Oh, so back on the Doraisa level, what we're going to believe is that Eidon May is Panafnei Bal Chovo, and if he's denying it, it means that the truth is with him.
Maybe
we don't even need a Shvur. It's only when we... Ah, so the Gemara says Ishtavute Kom Ishtavan is a way in which he can sleep nights, so to speak, and it wouldn't be Ha'azas Panim. Eino Demeis Panim Fleichom. So how does he calm himself down as far as Ha'azas Panim? How can he look into the eyes of the Malva who did him such a great favor and lent him money and deny it? The answer is he's going to admit half of it. Once he admits half of it, he thinks in his mind that's not a Ha'azas Panim. But in a case of Kofra Kol, that's certainly Oz's punim. Must be that he never got the money. Then we believe.
Now, when you say half, you don't really mean half. You mean any part.
What are we talking about? Half of the talis?
No, as we're talking about halva.
Half of the halva?
Yeah, he's...
right, so he admits half of the halva or not?
Well, he admits part of the halva. Not half, but 10%.
Right, right. It doesn't matter what percentage. You know, modem mixas means exactly. As long as he's admitting any part of it, that's going to give him the benefit, the comfort zone called ishtamuti kom ishtam.
So we'd be smart.
So again, when do we say chashad abamono lo chashad ashvua? So according to the final maskon of the Gemara, that's when this ishtamuti kom ishtamid in the case of modem mixas. But when do we say Chashad Abamona Chashad Ashvuasa? That's a case of Tokef, the Taliso Shal Chavero. There's no Ishtamuti Kom Ishtamit. He grabs onto someone else's talis, claiming it as his. We have no way of believing him on his Shvuah. The Torah would certainly not believe him on the Shvuah. The Torah only believes him on a Shvuah in a case of Ishtamuti Kom Ishtamit, where he's not an outright Gazan and he doesn't intend to steal it. So at the bottom, at the end of the day, we're still in confusion here. We don't have an answer. It's very ambiguous how and why Rabbi Yochanan in our Mishnah, in interpreting our Mishnah, says that there's a tokev and we're going to believe him with a shvuah. He's an outright gazlan and we're going to believe him with a shvuah. And if you'll tell me because the Easter Shvuah is Chomer B'Einov, and even though he's a Gazlan, he wouldn't take the he would hesitate to take a Shvuah Sheker. The Gemara is holding now, no. That Nigud Chashad Abamona, Chashad Ashvuasa. He's an outright thief. He's an Al Capone, and he's going to take a Shvuah Sheker. Shvuah Sheker doesn't impress him. And the Gemara is going to prove now that the only way that we can trust a person with a shvuah is only if there's ishtamuti kom ishtamit. Teda, the Omer of Idi Bar Ov and Omer of Chizda, kofer b'milve, koshel yedus, kofer b'pikadon, posel yedus. What's the difference between a kofer b'milve and then Adam came and testified that he lied through his teeth? He's koshel yedus. But in the case of pikadon, he denies that he ever received a pikadon, and then Adam testified that he's holding on to two sheep of his friend, Posseliates. We can never trust him until, again, he goes through a process of tshuva. What's the difference between the two? And the answer is Ishtamuti Kamishtam. In the case of Kofra B'milve, we can apply the logic of Kofra, of Ishtamuti Kamishtam, and we come to the conclusion he's not an outright thief. And therefore he's kosher. He can testify, and that's one. That's only in the case of Kofar B'milva, that has Ishtamuti Kom Ishtamit. But in the case of Kofar B'kadon, in other words, he got the sheep and he's holding on to Yenim's sheep and he denies it, he says, no, I never got it from you, that's already an outright gazlan. That's not a question of Ishtamuti Kom Ishtamit, but rather, he's stealing it. And if he's stealing it, then he's possibly Yedus, and the Gemara insists, based on Rav Yehuda bar Avin, that Choshed Avamona, Choshed Ashvuasa. But again, Choshed Avamona means he's Choshed on Gzela, he's then Choshed Lahayid, the Yedus Mamon, he's possibly Yedus. And not only that, he's going to be possibly Shvua by the same token because there's no Ishtamut Ikam Ishtam. Now at this point, we're really a little bit stuck because if the Gemara is insisting that Choshed Avamona Choshed Ashvuasa, with the exception of Ishtabuti Kamishtame, then what do we do with our Mishnah? So the Gemara says we're going to quote Rami Bar Chama and we're going to prove the exact opposite, that Choshed Avamona Lo Choshed Ashvuasa. So what's Rami Bar Chama? Arba shomrim tzrichim kfira b'miktas ve'oda b'miktas. In each case of the four categories of shomrim, which we're about to go into all four categories one by one, if he receives an animal and the animal's in his custody, he's accepted upon himself to watch the animal. Now the mafkid comes and he wants to get back his pikadon. So Rabbi Bar Chama says we need a kfira b'miktas. Wait, just one second. What do I gain by kfira b'miktas? And there's no independent chiyuv of a shomer. Does anybody understand the logic of Rami Bar Chama? I don't follow what he's saying. Why do you need a hodah b'miktas?
We need a hodah in order to what?
He's saying that there's no chiyuv shvuah unless you remove the b'miktas.
Yeah.
How does that prove that Choshed Avamona ain't no Choshed Ashvuah? So the Gemara now is trying to defend our Mishnah according to Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation. So Choshed Avamona Eino Choshed Ashvuasa. Now I got it. Yeah, because there's no Ishtamute. Oh, that's what I was missing. Yeah, we're talking about a Shomer. And the Mafkid says, I gave you two sheep. And the Shomer says, no, I only got one. Now, if we suspect through Modu B'Miktas that he really got the other one as well, then he must have it stashed up in his, you know, in his treasury. He's an outright Gazlan. So how can you believe him with a Shrua? So it's fascinating. You know, in the classic case of Modu B'Miktas, there's Ishtamuti Kamishtam, and it's a Kofra B'Milvah. And hence we can believe him on the Shrua. He's not Choshed on the Shrua. But in this particular case of Modu B'Miktas of Shruas HaShomrim, then we have reason to believe that he's holding on to someone's animal. That's not Ishtamuti Komishtan, that's outright Zelov Be'en. And yet, according to Rami Bar Chama, he's obligated to take a Shvua. It must be that Migu the Choshed Avamona ain't a Choshed Ashvuasa. Correct? This is the case of Shomer. Now he goes into details about each of the four categories of Shomrim. So first he has Shomer Chinam, then he has Shoel, then he has Nosei Sachar, and then he has a Socher. And according to Rabbi Bar Chama, he's taking the Shvuah because he's Chashid. I'm sorry, he's Modu B'Miktas. In other words, he admits that he owes a cow, but he says it's only one cow. The Tovea is demanding two cows. And yet Rabbi Yochanan says in this case, he takes a Shvuah. That's exactly the case of Shvuas HaShomer according to Rabbi Yochanan. He's Modu B'Miktas and Kofer B'Miktas. Well, that certainly is a case where there's no There's no ishtabuti kavashtam. He's stealing an animal. That's outright gzela. So the only way we could justify this shvua is we assume that migudu chasher mamono lo chasher ashva. So that's what the Gemara spells out over here. The name of migudu chasher mamono chasher shvua. So here there's no ishtabuti kavashtam. We're talking about a pikadon, and he's holding on to the pikadon and claiming it's his. Or he denies that he ever got it. So the Gemara answers, and Hasam Nami, even in the case of a shomer, we can apply the principle of ishtamuti kamishtamit. How do you apply ishtamuti kamishtamit in the case of an animal? He took the animal and he locks it up.
But you know, he locked it up. Maybe
he doesn't remember where he put it.
Maybe he ate it.
Now, if he ate it, then he's chasher amamona.
I mean, you don't know. He
the Gemara now is assuming Hasam Nami Ishtamuti Kamishtame.
Well, he owes him an animal. He was hungry, so he owes him an animal. But he's Ishtamuti because he doesn't have the money to pay him right now. So we'll give him the one animal that he has, and the other one he'll give him when he has the money.
You ought to assume he ate the thing. But again, if he ate the thing, so isn't he a gazla?
Of course.
If he ate someone's cow, you know.
Yeah, sure.
He had a good gishmak meal. He's a gazla. He's an outright gazla. How can you trust the shvua? You're telling me that he's stealing one of the two cows.
Well, you already said we trust gazla and manshua, and we're not
choshed about the shvua. Well, no, the Gemara is of the opinion that choshed abamona choshed ashvua. So until we can prove otherwise, so now the Gemara is trying to prove that choshed abamona. Lo chasher ashvua, correct? Yeah. And how do we prove it? From Rami Bar Chama, because Rami Bar Chama says in this case, he takes a shvua. It means that we the shvua is meaningful, and we trust the shvua, even though we're suspecting that he ate one of the two cows.
But he didn't. But we don't know for sure. We don't know for sure.
The Torah requires a shvua a shomrim in all cases.
Right. Well, not according to Rabbi Bar Chama. Rabbi Bar Chama says the only case in which the Torah imposes the Shuas HaShomrim is a case where he's Modu B'Mikzas. He doesn't deny the whole story. If he denies the whole story, I never took a cow from you, Shalom Al Yisrael, you have no Eidah that I took a cow, then he's believed. The Torah doesn't impose the Shuas. That's a Kofrat Kol. So when do we have a Shuas HaShomrim? Only if he's Modu B'Mikzas. Now, if he's more than mikzas, we're suspecting that he ate the other cow. So he's chasher ashvuasa. So the Gemara wants to prove from here that even someone who's chasher amamona, he's not chasher ashvuasa, which is very good for Rabbi Yochanan, because that's the shvu in our Mishnah of Tokev. So the Gemara says, name. You know what? You have no proof from Rami Bar Chama. There also is a shtamuti kamishtame. He's not an outright thief. Why? Sovar.
He was hungry.
Close. He doesn't have access to the sheep. Why not? Because it was stolen. So what should he do? He'll admit that it was stolen. Well, if he admits that it was stolen, at least in some cases, he's going to have to pay for it. So you know what? He's going to deny that he got the second sheep. And he'll make it his project, his life's project, to track down the gazlan who stole the sheep. That's why we want a shvua. We don't want a shvua because he stole someone's sheep. Somebody else stole that sheep, but he's a shomer and he's responsible for that. So he's going to now lie about the second sheep. He doesn't want to have to pay for the second sheep. He really believes that he's going to find the second sheep. He'll locate the ganav and he'll get back the sheep. Inami, I'll give you another scenario. Mishkechana le bi'agam.
That's yours.
What does Mishkechana le bi'agam have anything to do with Choshen Abamona, Choshen Ashruasa?
Where is it?
It's an agam. An agam is a place where there's water, and there's also some sort of grass that's growing or some sort of vegetation. So now he's the shomer, and they deposited in his hands two animals, let's say, and he admits one animal and he's willing to return it, and the other animal he denies. We have to give him a shvuah, impose him on him a shvuah. So why do we trust the shvuah? The Gemara answers, because what he did with this animal was he took it out to the agam in order to have the animal grazed to feed the animal. Well, my sinale, I'm going to do my utmost. I'm going to put in all my efforts to track down this so-called stolen animal. And then I'll bring back the animal. So again, even though he denies the second animal, he has a whole cheshbon in his mind why he's denying the second animal. And that's called ishtamuti kamishtamit. Right now he can't find the animal. He lost it in the agam. Why? Because he didn't give he didn't provide a very strict, meticulous supervision over the animals. And in the meantime, the animal went flying. So he's in trouble now. Why? Because he can't return the animal. He has no idea where the animal is. But he thinks that if he makes a great effort, he'll find the animal. So in the meantime, he denies that he got the animal, but really intends to return the animal. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi hakofer v'vikadon, amai posel yedus." If a shomer denies that he ever got the animal, why is he posel yedus? Name ishtamuti kamishtamit. He doesn't find the animal, but he will find the animal. Savar ad bachasha u mishkachanale. All right, so this Gemara will pick up Mirz Hashem tomorrow. Does anybody have a pencil? Any chance?
There's a pencil right there.
Oh, here's a pencil. Where is it? I just want to make a note of where we got up to. So we're almost up to Davav. Davav is the famous sugya of Chashid Amamon and Chashid Ashkuas. Okay, Rabosai?